Welcome to Freedom to Choose with Rich and Susan Collenberg. Freedom to Choose is brought to you by Just As I Am Ministries, a nonprofit that gives hope and help to those lost in addiction. Rich and Susan are a husband and wife team who found grace and freedom from 20 years of addiction to drugs and alcohol. They broke free from their bondage 15 years ago and are here to share their experience of God's power in recovery. God can change lives. Now, here's Rich and Susan with Freedom to Choose.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. My name is Rich Collenberg.
And my name is Susan Collenberg.
Susan, what will we talk about today?
Today, we're going to talk about prescription drugs and can they be dangerous?
You know, this is a really interesting topic, and it's one that's pretty dear to my heart, actually. And you're going to find some interesting statistics that we talk about today, things that I didn't know until I started doing the research on it. But before we get going, we'll have a word of prayer. But this is going to be an interesting topic. I think I've learned a lot as I dug into this. Susan, would you please pray for us?
Yes. Loving Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity to reach out. And Lord, we just pray for wisdom. We pray that you're bringing just the right people to hear the message. And Lord, above all, we pray that you're glorified. And we thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, one of the reasons why this is dear to my heart, if you will, is because I'm a little bit of a freak on on taking any kind of pill or anything because I'm scared to death of becoming addicted.
Right.
I mean, that's if a little's good, more's better. That's my
motto.
My motto.
Right.
You know, my drug of choice was more. Didn't matter what it was. I just wanted more of it.
Right.
And so my wife will attest, I won't even take an aspirin.
Right.
And I can be in plenty of pain, and I just won't do it. I remember I had my wisdom teeth pulled after what I was maybe a year clean and sober. I had to,
yeah,
you know, kind of get my mouth overhauled,
mm-hmm,
because it was messed up from,
right,
from the methamphetamine. And one of the big deals that had to happen was to get the wisdom teeth pulled. And they wanted to put me on a Valium drip or something. They kind of, mm-hmm, halfway knock you out. I don't know how it works. I wouldn't let him. I said, no, you know, you can shoot my mouth up with Novocaine, but you're not going to stick nothing in my veins. No way.
And I'm completely the opposite.
She's the opposite. She doesn't worry about it.
Well, it's not that I don't worry about it. It's just that I'm like, I don't do pain well.
Right.
I'm very intolerant to pain.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you just had foot surgery, and that's not doing too red hot.
It's not doing well.
So you got to eat you have to have some medication for that.
Right. And I take one in the morning and one in the afternoon. So even
as prescribed.
Right. And I could even take one in the evening, but when I come home at night, I'm not on it, so I have no pain, so there's no need for me to take.
You're not on
pain
what?
Pill.
Your foot or the drugs? Okay.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so you know, people like me that's got a shaky past, what do you think?
Should I got a shaky past too,
yeah.
So
okay. That didn't get us very far.
No,
because
it didn't.
Because we're diametrically opposed on
most
things. I'm just like really careful about it because but you know your limitations and I don't know mine, I guess. Anyway, what is a prescription drug?
A prescription drug, also prescription medication or prescription medicine, is a licensed medicine that is regulated by legislation to require a medical prescription before it can be obtained. The term is used to distinguish it from over-the-counter drugs that can be obtained without a prescription.
Now, as a general rule, over-the-counter drugs are used to treat conditions that don't necessarily require a healthcare professional. And not only that, but over-the-counter drugs meet higher safety standards because we self-medicate with them.
So what is prescription drug abuse?
Well, prescription drug abuse means taking a prescription drug that is not prescribed for you, or taking it for reasons or in dosages other than prescribed, or taking it with other drugs. Abuse of prescription drugs can produce serious health effects, including addiction. Prescription drugs can be easier to get than street drugs. You know, your family members may have them, but they're also sold on the street.
Correct. Just like illegal drugs are sold.
Good. So when they're sold on the street, they are illegal drugs.
Correct.
Yeah.
In a 2009 survey from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows that prescription drug abuse is on the rise, with 20% of teens saying that they have taken a prescription drug without a doctor's prescription.
Why? Is it because some people think that prescription drugs are safer and less addictive than street drugs? After all, these kids are taking drugs that maybe they get from their mom or their sister or their dad, and it seems like it's okay.
That's right.
And we're going to look at something a little bit later on that's fascinating. Well, not fascinating. It's actually scary. Because the drugs are in the home and they're so powerful and everybody's using them,
right.
It seems like it's okay.
Right. To a young girl taking her brother's ADHD medicine that may seem like a good way to keep her appetite in check, we hear all about how bad diet pills can be. But is it wrong to think that ADHD drugs will be safer?
And so what happens is, you know, maybe a brother has taken the ADHD medication and mom will say, you know, it really messes with the boy's appetite.
Right.
And so the daughter might hear that and say, you know what? Great. She asks her brother, really? You don't eat when you're on this stuff? Yeah, I can't eat at all. Really? Well, that would be better than taking diet pills, because I hear diet pills are really bad. But, I mean, these must be okay because you're taking them.
Right.
You see, and people will misuse or abuse the prescription drugs in that fashion. Prescription drugs are only safe for the individuals who actually have prescription for them. That's because the doctors examine these people, prescribe the right dose of medication for a specific medical condition.
Right. The doctor has also told them exactly how they should take the medicine, including things to avoid while taking the drug, such as drinking alcohol, smoking, or maybe even taking other medications. They also are aware of the potential dangerous side effects and can monitor themselves closely for those things.
Other people who try prescription drugs that are not prescribed for them can think they're not doing anything illegal because these drugs are prescribed by doctors. But taking drugs without a prescription or sharing a prescription drug with friends is actually breaking the law. Now, commonly abused classes of prescription drugs include opioids, that's for pain, central nervous system depressants for anxiety and sleep disorders, and stimulants for ADHD and narcolepsy and things like that. Now, today we'll focus mainly on opioids, but not entirely. Now, opioids include Vicodin, and I'm sure you've heard many of these names. Vicodin, Oxycontin, Opana, Darvon, Dilaudid, Demerol. These opioids are powerful drugs that reduce pain. These drugs are very helpful to people with severe pain from injuries and cancer and other diseases. They have a very, their uses, I mean, it's just, you know.
Right, they're
for
good
a reason.
For their purpose.
Yeah. Now, prescription painkillers attach to a particular sites in the brain called opioid receptors. These are the ones that carry the message about pain. You know, when you slam your finger or your hand or something and it hurts, and then what happens is you have natural opioids that go to those receptors. Once you're told that you're hurt, then the pain finally goes away after a little while because your natural brain chemistry, okay, I've told him that he's hurt. And now, you know, he's aware of it.
Give him some relief.
And that's why, you know, it's a good mechanism in our brain because, you know, your headache is not due to a lack of aspirin.
Right.
You're either dehydrated or there's something wrong.
Right.
You know, when you hurt your arm, it hurts because there's something wrong.
Right.
And so it's a good system that God has put in place to tell us about us, about our bodies.
There's something not right. Correct.
Right. Now, with proper use of prescription painkillers, the pain messages sent to the brain are changed and are no longer perceived as painful. Now, I remember when my dad had cancer and they had to give him different kind. They tried morphine, but it didn't. It kind of made him sick. And then they gave him Dilaudid. And then they gave him liquid Dilaudid, and then it really helped him for the pain, you know. Mm-hmm. But the problem though with pain pills or pain medications that deal with this part of the brain and deal with physical pain is that you take them consistently enough over a long enough period of time, you will develop a physical dependency on those pills. And there's no amount of education that can stop the inevitable neurochemical process from occurring.
Right. So your brain is getting used to it being there, and then it needs to have it there.
It has to happen.
Right. Physical dependence happens because the body adapts to having the drug around, and when its use is stopped abruptly, the person will experience the symptoms of withdrawal.
So just like a person, I mean, have you ever experienced withdrawal?
Yes.
When was that?
Probably when I was put in jail against my will.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was interesting. I had somebody, because we were talking about this at church last weekend, and I had a young girl, they were sitting behind me, a young girl asked her mom, what's withdrawal? And she said, well, ask Mr. Rich. And she said, no. And she said, well, ask Susan. She's like, no. And then her mom asked me, and so I explained to her daughter that it's kind of like, you know, you get into trouble and something's taken away from you, and all you can think about is that one thing, and you just want to, whether it's watching TV or playing video games, and you just want it so bad. It's like,
so
that
you get in
physical
trouble, and mom says you can't watch TV tonight, and so you go through withdrawal.
And say
because
it's
you
one
want
of your favorite programs is on, and all you want to do is watch it, and you think about it, and it's kind of like a deep inside you. You just can't.
Yeah.
You just have to have it.
That's a good explanation for withdrawal,
yeah.
And that's why these drugs are carefully monitored, and you should only take them or stop them under a doctor's orders. Prescription painkillers can be highly addictive when used improperly, without a doctor's prescription or in doses higher than prescribed. Addiction to prescription painkillers means that a person will strongly crave the drug and continue to use it despite severe consequences to their health and their life. And, of course, remember, what is the definition of an addiction? It's a habit that controls you. You don't control it.
Right.
And so when logic and reason go out the window, when it goes out the window in order that we have to have something, that's the addiction.
Right.
Now, well, let's continue a little bit about where else can the prescription drugs go.
Prescription painkillers can also affect the brain areas controlling respiration, and when used improperly or mixed with other drugs can cause a severe decrease in breathing that can lead to death.
And you know, we read stories about people that have gone through, you know, they took this, that, and the other thing, and they died.
Right.
And somehow we feel that, though that will happen to anybody, but it won't happen to us,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not proud to admit it, but that was one of the worst things that I used to do with prescription drugs, is take them with a lot of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It's only by the grace of God that I'm here.
Right.
Because it really messes with your vitals. You know, it really messes with your vitals. Now, here's why the prescription drug thing is so important to me, if you will. Now, I was reading an article yesterday on teenage drug abuse, and the question was asked, just how easy is it for teens to get access to prescription pills? And you know what the answer was?
Very easy.
That's right.
In one survey online at PureX entitled Prescription Abuse is Drug Abuse, the National Institute of Health on Drug Abuse reported that 54% of high school seniors polled said opioid drugs other than heroin, such as Vicodin, are fairly or very easy to get.
Interesting. The article's author, Dr. Nicholas Cardaris, stated that he had teen clients tell him getting prescription pills in their school cafeterias are easier to get than a side of fries with their lunch.
Wow.
A recent study at a University of Colorado doctor shows adolescents are abusing drugs like Vicodin, OxyContin, and Valium 40% more than previous generations. So this is the interesting point. Why 40% more than previous generations?
Well, we have some more statistics. Dr. Sasson from the University of Colorado Hospital explains the major findings, stating that prescription drugs are now the second most common illegal drug being used by kids. Marijuana is number one.
Now, you find that interesting, that prescription drugs are classified as illegal drugs?
Right.
See?
Right.
Because when they're...
If it's not prescribed to you, then it's illegal. Right.
So just the notion, and that's always the trouble that we have with the alcohol situation, is just because it's legal to buy alcohol in a store, but once it goes to a minor's hands, or once it goes in your hands while you're behind the wheel, or any other number of things, it becomes illegal.
Right.
And we have this notion that it's legal because it's a pill in the bottle.
Sure.
And it's just, and it has lesser of a psychological stigmatism
right.
attached to it than something flopping around in a baggie.
Right, or something you buy on the street corner that's...
Exactly.
Yeah. So the increase is across the board from men and women from a variety of races. Facilities have seen a 500% increase in people seeking prescription drug abuse rehab.
500% increase.
Yeah, that's
prescription
incredible.
drug abuse rehab. They have special centers for that and people to deal with just that specific addiction.
I think this is the key. Dr. Sasson said that this may be due to the sheer amount of prescriptions written for drugs like Vicodin, Oxycontin, and Valium.
Now, see...
There's more of it available.
Another statistic. Prescriptions went from 40 million in 1991 to more than 180 million in 2007. So there's more drugs available at home, making their use seem more normal to young people.
That's right.
At a young age, Dr. Sasson says a child's brain is very susceptible, making pills much more addictive. This is the scary part. This can lead to long-term abuse issues and may be why overdose deaths result of prescription drug abuse in the U.S. are now higher than both cocaine and heroin combined. I didn't know that.
Wow.
That's incredible. Prescription drugs deaths are higher than cocaine and heroin combined. But why would teens be more susceptible? You see, when we're young, our brains are developing. They develop from back to front in our coconuts. They develop from the back of the head to the front. This means that the portions of the brain that deal with emotion, memory, learning, motivation, and judgment are the last to develop, and as such are most deeply affected by the drug of abuse, even alcohol abuse. During ages 12 through 20, when the brain is developing, it's often even through age 25 that the brain is developing. You know, the interesting thing is that's when we're most prone to abuse something. Now, if a teen abuses drugs, prescription or otherwise, the neural connections associated with memories and experiences related to the abuse are the ones that are strengthened, and therefore, they're embedded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people use the word hardwired. They're hardwired in. So those experiences that the person has, and most of the time, if it's in a home where there are prescription drugs and alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and the teen grows up there and abuses that, those are the memories that the kid's going to have, the child
right.
is going to have. And if he's abusing those drugs, he's going to have a clouded, distorted,
mm-hmm.
Not clear memories of his past.
Right.
And how he reacted in certain ways under the influences of whatever
right.
that child was under.
Right, because during that time is when your thinking brain is also developing. And
exactly.
So if it's not developing, then it's not going to be developed.
Exactly. In fact, we'll talk about that. The neural connections damaged by or not used by abuse, and those are related to learning and judgment, they're pruned off. They're not strengthened.
Right.
So if a child is on drugs in the home, prescription drugs, or doing what we did, sipping the alcohol from the cabinet, we used to water that alcohol down and take that. I think we mentioned that in a previous program. And when a child does that, that part of the brain is actually being strengthened.
Right. Those years are such formative years, and so many people, that's the age when people get into doing drugs, and they're causing permanent damage and permanent functioning skills.
Yeah.
When God designed that, it's when we make our stupidest mistakes.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So this late stage brain development also explains why teens don't know why they do some of the things they do and why they take risks they would likely not engage in if they had a fully developed brain and the hindsight, memories, and experience that go with it.
And, you know, I wonder if if I ever did get a fully developed brain, because one of the things that when we talk about that a child or a teen does some crazy stuff because they don't have the experience or background in their brain to back them up to make good decisions because they just haven't had enough experiences yet. I can remember we used to go hang on trees, me and my friend Bob. My wife's shaking her head like, what is this tree hanging? But what we would do is we'd go out and we'd find a pine tree that, I don't know, was, 30 foot tall or whatever. And then we'd go climb to the very top of that pine tree, and naturally it would have to bend over,
Uh-huh.
And it would bend in a U-shape. And then you'd hang, and as the pine tree would finally let you down where you were close enough to the ground to drop off. And, of course, we don't have any previous experiences other than just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would happen when you got onto a tree? Because you always went taller and taller with the trees. And all of a sudden you reach this threshold where you get out on a tree and you climb all the way to the top and you start hanging off to the side and the tree's bending down and you notice that the tree doesn't bend anymore.
It's not bending.
And there you are.
Right.
And you're hanging way up off the ground. Now,
right.
I don't know how high I was, but I know that I reached critical mass one time hanging from a tree. And I was, you're hanging there. You can't climb back up the tree.
Right.
There's no way out but to wait and jump.
Right.
And so that was the end of that. But that's how, you learn from it. I would never
do
that again.
You learn from experience.
Yeah. Now, I could have dropped off that tree and broke both my ankles or shattered my heel or whatever, but I didn't. I mean, I waited long enough to where I got down. I don't know how far it was from the ground before but it hurt when I hit.
Right.
I could have got really hurt. Either way, I never did it again.
Right.
You see, whether I got hurt bad or not. See, if a teen's doing, and that's a thing. So we learn when we're young. If you're doing music or sports or academics, those are the cells and the connections that will be hardwired. But if the child is lying on the couch, playing video games or MTV or abusing drugs, those are the cells and the connections that are going to survive.
Jay Gied, the neuroscientist at National Institute of Health, Mental Health, reported around puberty and on into adult years is a particularly critical time for brain sculpting to take place. He compared the human brain in the years of puberty to an unformed block of granite ready for the artist's hand. The artist created by removing pieces of granite, and that is the way the brain also sculpts itself. The advances come from actually taking away and pruning down of certain connections themselves. In reference to his findings, Good laminated, I think that's right at this time when the brain is most vulnerable. It's also the time when teens are most likely to experiment with drugs or alcohol.
He mentions that sometimes when he's working with teens, he says, I actually show them these brain development curves, how they peak at puberty and then prune down, and I try to reason with them that if they're doing drugs or alcohol that evening, it may not be just affecting their brains for that night or even for that weekend, but for the next 80 years of their life.
That's right.
So what can you do if you're a concerned parent? What do you look for in regards to your child possibly being on drugs? Well, there's 8 telltale signs.
You have change in sleep habits, change in energy level, change in personal hygiene, change in mood or personality, sudden change in grades, change of friends, loss of appetite, and constricted eye pupils. It's a pinpoint pupils for a suspected opiate use.
So if your child has a change in heat sleep habits or energy level or personal hygiene or mood personality changes in grades.
They could just be growing up
change of friends, loss of appetite, or constricted eye pupils. You might want to investigate. Keep your teens busy with positive activities. Monitor your teen's friends and their friends' friends, and keep an open dialogue with your child. And most of all, a church family is really good. Keep your teen involved in church. Remember, the total number of hydrocodone and oxycodone products prescribed legally in the U.S. increased from more than fourfold, from 40 million in 1991 to 180 million in 2007. This is tough. The drugs are around the home. They're everywhere. That's a huge problem in our society, and Christians are not exempt. It's just another way that the devil can get to us. So, remember, folks, there's only 2 ways to live your life. One is like nothing is a miracle. The other is like everything is a miracle. And you have the freedom to choose.
for listening to Freedom to Choose. There truly is hope for anyone whose life is in captivity and being overrun with the devastation of addiction. Rich and Susan are living testimonials and have created a 7-step biblically based handbook and a recovery workbook to move those you love toward freedom. If you'd like to order the Addiction Recovery Workbook for someone you know, or if you're a member of a church and you'd like to create a ministry in the area of addiction, Rich and Susan can help you get started. Please call Rich and Susan at 916-645-1297 or go to www.justasiamministries.com. As a nonprofit, they are blessed by people like you. 916-645-1297 or www.justasiamministries.com. Thank you for listening, and remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.